Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
A disciple is not above his teacher. Nor a slave above his Lord. Sure he is. Jesus may have loved the poor, the bad investments, but I'm above all that. We can't grow the church on people that'll just tap you dry. Jesus may have let himself be humiliated for love, but I'm above that. I'm ordained for Pete's sake. Jesus may have offered his flesh and blood as the be-all, end-all, but I'm above offering his flesh and blood as the be-all, end-all. Life is more complicated than sacraments. Jesus never did anything he didn't see his Heavenly Father do first. But we're above that. We'll make it up as we go, as long as it's all about us. A disciple is above his teacher when he wants to come off wiser than Jesus. We know how to grow the church. Do we really need the creed? Shouldn't we really testify our belief from our hearts? A slave is above his Lord when we want to come off more merciful than Jesus and serve his body and blood to anyone, regardless of what they believe or recognize in the bread and wine, so long as we look good, so long as people flock to us. It's enough for the disciple that he become as his teacher and the slave as his Lord. No, it's not. It's not enough for us to tell the truth and let our lives fall where they may. Not if I wind up a sitting duck like Jesus. It's not enough to hand over the faith that was handed over to us. Shouldn't we hand it over better than we received it? As if we could make it better? As if we could hand over anything the way he did. From every word of his Father that he handed down to us, faithful, clean, and true, right up until he handed over the Spirit from his cross. Of course, it would be enough for the disciple to become as his teacher. And the slave should only be so blessed with so personal an invitation from his Lord. I say that because pop evangelicals are preaching a personal relationship with Jesus as over against Lutherans who only know sacraments and liturgies and words that create faith. Well, as a Catholic, I protest. It doesn't get any more personal than word, water, bread, and wine. And that personal relationship with Jesus is the only kind there is. A personal relationship with Jesus is not a Gnostic fantasy, like an imaginary friend in our heads. Personal means to take the real Jesus, body, blood, water, words, who suffered under Pontius Pilate 2,000 years ago, outside of our head, who lives and reigns to all eternity, to take the Jesus as he offers himself, as if it personally mattered to him that we do, as if he personally knows whether we do. We only took our Lord's words as personally as his enemies do. Has anyone called you Beelzebub lately? When I was young, that kind of language was kind of a stretch in this country. Not anymore. This culture hates Christ. The Pilates and Herods of the world will have a group hug to get rid of your Jesus. The day is not coming. It's here. But Jesus, your teacher and Lord, happens to be the supreme being, and a day is coming when nothing will be cryptic. Therefore, do not fear. Do not fear them, because there is nothing which has been covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. Faith-giving power won't be hidden in words. Life-giving power won't be hidden in water. Resurrection power won't be hidden in bread. Atoning power won't be hidden in wine. And his witnesses won't be sacrifices anymore. They'll be rulers. Do you believe him? It's personal. Then stop fearing those who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to utterly destroy both body and soul in hell. If he can't have you, he'll kill you. Personal enough? Whom do we fear already that we forgot to be afraid of him? And where did we get the idea that he wouldn't take it personal, that we're more afraid of someone in our church than we are of him? Never mind those who kill the body. We're so afraid of offending real people that we forget who, our imaginary friend, Jesus? I'd take that personal, and I'm just me. Christ Almighty, who sits between the cherubim and at the same time yet comes to us over the lips and teeth and tongue, knows that we have to forget him in order to entertain these petty fears. Fear God and waste no time on other fears. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. Whatever you hear in your ear, preach on the housetops. Talk about not a stretch. Remember your 3 years alone with Jesus. What you learned here in the darkness of faith, in the wrestlings of your studies, in the glorious epiphanies you had in the classroom. Man, what have you heard in your ear on this porch to heaven? In an exegetical class, I heard one Greek word that described the Father's insides when he spotted his prodigal son, and suddenly objective justification, the cross, the sacraments, all became one thing to speak in the light. It's him. It's personal. In a history class, I heard the word Catholic defined and understood that our religion is not our response to Christ. It's Christ himself. And I'll never pronounce Christianity the impersonal way again. In one systematics class, I heard that divine liturgy is the absolving conversation with God in God's own words. And it doesn't get any more personal than that. In another, I heard that the whole revelation of God, his character, his essence, who he is at his private triune core, is hanging in front of me on the cross. Nothing beside, nothing behind, to be lifted up and preached as is from the housetops. In a pastoral class, I heard all the reasons why my own pastor's sermons showed me my sin and my Savior 1,000 times in a row. And yes, Greek class was hard from the anti-penult get-go, and paraphrastically more difficult toward the end. But it made this pastor a future more vivid. And trust me, on the last day of class, your professor will show you why hard work is the most personal thing there is. What is the fire you have shut up in your bones? What has Christ told you in the dark, in this cocoon called seminary, where you are metamorphosed, cruciform, both grueling and wonderful all at once? Christ Academy, guys, you see that shape looming? You wonder why any man would ever dare. I'll tell you why. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But the very hairs of your head are numbered. It's comforting for some of us. Therefore, fear no longer. You are of more value than many sparrows. How valuable? Valuable enough because you were made in the image of God, but infinitely more pricey. Because you were worth the death of God only begotten. He can't forget you. You are no Gnostic fantasy in Jesus' head. He's got you carved in his hands because he forgot himself with his eyes on you. And he will gather his treasures, body and soul. He won't lose you. He's personally got you covered. So let's cut loose like Reformation princes and repeat his words. Everyone, therefore, who shall confess me before men, I myself will confess him before my Father who is in the heavens. But whoever shall deny me before men, I myself will also deny him before my Father who is in the heavens. Could anything be more terrible and more tender all at once? Teacher to disciple, Lord to slave, brother to brother. It's you and him. That's all. And he says, we'll confess, you and me. Homologeso, men. We'll say the same thing about each other. You're mine, I'm yours. You confess my name in your real world, in the light. Repeat what I have said to you on the housetops where the winds of persecution blow and liars lie. And I'll confess your name in the real world where the winds of God proceed from the Father and the Son. Open your mouth. Confess Jesus, crucified, risen, and given for the life of the world. How personally does our Lord take the opening of these mouths? Come and see. Open your mouth. Take, eat, take, drink. Jesus' body and blood, given and shed for you. This is no Gnostic fantasy. He did get killed to have you. This is personal. Stand. Before God, in this world, with all of Holy Church, and in the face of the devil and all heretics, let us confess the Nicene Creed. I believe.